After you mark number 597, God Calling Yes, encourage you to get your Bible and open its pages and search the Scriptures with us today. We're grateful for God's grace and mercy that has brought us together once again as God's family in Christ. Thankful for your coming, and I'm delighted to be with you. I want to talk to us for just a few moments about the topic, Mothers Needed Today. As you pick up your Bible and read its pages, you'll find that the Book of God has much to say about mothers. From Genesis to Revelation, the word mother appears 245 times and the word mothers 8 times. The bulletin today is a sampling of some things the Bible says about mother, as you'll read Bible verses on mother. Our reading today, from Proverbs 6, 20 to 22, was among those mother verses. Writing the Ephesians in chapter 6 and verse 1, Paul penned, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." I'm grateful we live in a land that recognizes the importance of honoring mothers. But our respect and admiration for a mother ought not be set aside to just one day out of the year. But certainly our mothers are worthy of respect and reverence day in and day out. I want to talk to us about the fact that mothers are needed. And when I talk about mothers needed today, I'm not talking about we need women in society that are conceiving and bearing children. From that standpoint, there's more to being a mother than just conceiving and bearing a child. But I suggest to you that we need mothers who are mothers in the real sense of the word. We need mothers who nurture and rear and train their children in the way they should go. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, the Bible says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it." I began to think about the kind of mothers that we need from a spiritual standpoint, and I'd like to share with you the fruit of my study. You might like to take notes, and as a woman, you might ask, does this describe me? As I began to make my study of mothers needed today, I thought of the fact that we need mothers who recognize children are an heritage of the Lord. In the book of Genesis, we read of the origination of all things, except God, who is without beginning and end, for he is eternal. How that on the sixth day, God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, Genesis 2 and verse 7. God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I'll make him an help meet for him." He took a rib from his side, and with the rib that God had taken from man, he made a woman and brought her unto the man, and said, "Be fruitful and multiply." In Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1, Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, what'd she say? "I've gotten a man from the Lord." I wonder how many in society today conceive and bring forth children without giving any thought of the fact that "I've gotten a man from the Lord." She recognized that her child was God-given, didn't she? I believe we need mothers in society today who realize that their children are God's gift. Again in chapter 4 and verse 25, Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. Listen, "For God," said she, "hath appointed me another seed." When you come to the Psalms, the psalmist in Psalm 113 and verse 9 wrote a psalm of praise saying, "Of the Lord he maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children." Who is it that makes the woman to be a joyful mother of children? It's the Lord, isn't it? And in Psalm 127 and verse 3, the psalmist penned, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord." That word heritage suggests that children are an inheritance. Children are a gift, a treasure from the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. You know, those who are abandoned and neglected, when you think about some of the stories that we see on the news channels and in the newspapers. It must have been lost upon the minds of a lot of people in our society that children are an heritage of the Lord. And so we need mothers who recognize that, don't we? Let me suggest to you a second thing, and that is we need mothers who see the value of giving their children unto the Lord, just like Hannah did. When you come to the book of 1 Samuel, in chapter 1, still during the period of the judges, we're introduced to one of the outstanding women of the Old Testament by the name of Hannah. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and in verse 10 that she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. The reason for her bitterness is that she was barren and she had an adversary that provoked her sore to make her fret. And as she prays to the Lord, weeping sore, she vows a vow and says, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord. You might underscore that in verse 10 when Hannah says, I will give him unto the Lord. If you'd been Hannah, would you have given your son unto the Lord? He said, all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. That was the vow of a Nazarite. You can read more about that in Numbers chapter 6. But as you drop down in verse 20, it came to pass when the time was come, about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. It's interesting that when children were born in Bible days, that they put great attention upon the naming of their children, didn't they? They recognized the meaning and the significance of a name. And the reason that she called his name Samuel, which means asked of God, is because she asked of God and God gave her Samuel, because I've asked him of the Lord. And then as you drop down to verse 24 in this same context, when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, which three bullocks, one ephah of flour, and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. If you'd been this mother, would you have promised to give your son to the Lord, and then would you have been found bringing him unto the house of the Lord while he was young? You know, there are some who come to the Lord's house even while they're in their mother's womb, don't they? I saw that last week when there was a family that was expecting. And she was bringing her child in her womb to the services of the gospel meeting. And other young children were brought as well. And you're to be commended for bringing children with you today. Also, the Bible says in verse 25, they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed. You reckon she understood the fact that children are an heritage of the Lord? She knew where children came from, didn't she? And so she was asking of the Lord, and the Lord heard her petition. The Lord answered her request, and she recognized that. She said, the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him, therefore also I have what? Lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. In chapter 2 and verse 11, Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. Would you have lent your child to the Lord, and would your child have ministered unto the Lord before Eli the priest? And then down in verse 18, Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Think about what lending her son to the Lord would mean. That would mean absent from him, wouldn't it? It'd mean there'd be times when she'd not see him, that they'd be apart, even while he was young. And I got to thinking about that from a spiritual application, what application we might be able to make of that. We need those who are being given to the Lord from the standpoint of we need those that are becoming gospel preachers and Bible class teachers and elders and deacons. You know, there are those who want their little ones to grow up to become doctors and lawyers and to be professional. And they want them to be successful in life from that standpoint. But make no plans or provisions for them from a spiritual standpoint, really. There are those who encourage them to be football players or basketball players or baseball players. And it would bring them great satisfaction if they became a professional baseball player. What about, would it please you and bring you satisfaction for your son to be a gospel preacher? Think about that. I got to thinking about how really our children are given us to by the Lord, and it's our responsibility as parents to give our children to the Lord. Really, from day one, what we're doing is we're trying to prepare them for the Lord. He's given them to us temporarily, and we're trying to give them back to Him, aren't we? We're trying to bring them up in such a way that they will obey the gospel, and that they'll be faithful unto death, so that when the Lord comes, that our children will be among those who are caught up to be with the Lord and ever be with the Lord. That's what it's all about, isn't it? And so I think about the fact that we need mothers today who recognize that children are an heritage of the Lord, and to lend our children to the Lord, just like she did, to make spiritual application of that in our lives today. If you'd been Hannah, would you have lent your son to the Lord? But also, we need mothers today who are teachers. The Bible says of Deborah in the book of Judges in chapter 5 and in verse 7 that she arose a mother in Israel. And according to chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, where we're introduced to Deborah, the Bible identifies her as a prophetess. She was a teacher, an inspired teacher, who judged Israel at that time. And the Bible says in verse 5 that she dwelt under the palm tree. Think about that. Here's a woman in the Old Testament who is a mother in Israel, dwelling under her palm tree. She was a teacher. And I got to thinking about how it must have been nice to have been living during that time to be associated with a woman by the name of Deborah. And how it would have been nice to be able to go spend some time under her palm tree. Would you have gone and visited her palm tree? And I believe that there's a need for mothers in Israel today, from a spiritual standpoint. That we need women today of maturity and wisdom, where there are those who are younger can come and sit under her palm tree. You know, the Bible says in the book of Titus in chapter 2, as verse 3 addresses aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. The Bible calls upon women to be teachers, teachers of good things. Now I realize in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2 that Paul said in verse 12, I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. That does not restrict the woman from all teaching. Otherwise, Paul could not have told Titus that women are to be teachers of good things. The restriction is that a woman is not suffered, permitted, or allowed to teach over the man or to usurp authority over the man. But I've learned a lot of wonderful lessons from women. And I'm thankful for some Deborahs in my life who I've been able to sit under their palm tree for a little bit and learn from them, that have passed on some of their wisdom to me. And I'd like to encourage you to be a Deborah. We need women, mothers, who are teachers. And, of course, that teaching and nurturing would begin in the home. In the book of Deuteronomy, in chapter 6, beginning in verse 5, Israel was told, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. We need mothers today who have these words in their heart, who are living examples to their children and to others of what it means to love the Lord, to truly love Him with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their might. And those words are not to be in our hearts alone. It's not that these words are just to reside in the mother's heart. But he said in verse 7, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." May I ask you a question? Don't answer out loud, but just think about this within your own mind. Do you teach these words diligently unto your children? Do you talk of these things as a mother when you're sitting in your house? Do you talk of these words to your children when you're walking by the way? Do you talk of these things when you're lying down and when you're rising up? We need mothers today who are teaching their children. And one of the finest New Testament examples we have of that would be a mother by the name, and you could probably about tell me what it is, Eunice. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 15, it is said of Timothy that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. His mother's name was Eunice, and we'll have more to say about her in just a moment, Lord willing. 2 Timothy 1 and in verse 5. But notice that from a child he knew the Holy Scriptures. Where did he obtain that knowledge? How did he come to know the Scriptures from a child? From two outstanding women in his life, his mother and his grandmother. It started at home, didn't it? The best place to begin a child's training is with their mother and their grandmother. He knew something that was able to make him wise unto salvation. You know what that was? The Scriptures. There's nothing else in all of the world that can make you wise unto salvation. As James said, "Receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul." James 1 and verse 21. And there are young people today that know all kinds of things. They know about science. They know about math. They may be involved in algebra and trigonomics and calculus. They know about history, and they could tell you some of the fascinating facts of history, not just U.S. history, but world history. They know all about that, could tell you that inside and out. And when it comes to some of the sports stars, they could tell you all the statistics. But what about when it comes to knowing the Scriptures? How well do our children know the Scriptures? Eunice is a great example, isn't she, of a mother who taught her son. And look at who Timothy became. As Paul would meet up with this young man on one of his preaching trips and would accompany him in his travels and would be known as his son in the faith. What a great example. You might say, in a sense, she lent her son to the Lord, didn't she? We need women, mothers, who are teachers. But again, as I think about mothers needed today and what it means to be a mother in the real biblical sense of the word, we need mothers who seek the welfare of their children. And I take us this time to the book of Ruth that is situated during the period of the judges. You think about this time of war and time of conflict and turmoil, but we leave the battlefields of the book of Judges to the harvest fields of the book of Ruth, a peaceful transition. And in the book of Ruth, we're introduced to a fascinating woman by the name of Naomi. She suffered the loss of her husband and her two sons in Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Verse 5 says, "The woman was left of her two sons and her husband." And if you can just kind of put yourself in her place to think about what she must have been going through as a wife and a mother. But yet she has two daughters-in-law, though she does not refer to them as daughters-in-law, but she refers to them as her daughters. In verse 8, Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? I want you to realize that these were not her biological daughters. But yet she referred to them as her daughters. And she treated them as if they were her own daughters. What an impressive mother, Naomi. And she sought what was in their best interest. She said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I'm too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, why should also and should also bear sons? Would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Notice her attitude. It grieveth me much. Why? For your sakes. She was grieving for them. Here she's lost her husband. She's lost her sons, but she's grieving for them because of their loss, for your sakes. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. It's one of the scenes that just can't but touch you, that just tugs at your heartstrings when you read it. And you try to envision that scene when she had this conversation with her daughters. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods, little g. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. And so you're impressed with the fact that truly Ruth clave unto Naomi. And in chapter 2 of the book, we find that Ruth is gleaning in the fields of Boaz. And in verse 19, her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today, and where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. She showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And in chapter 3, Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? What's she doing? She's seeking what is best for her daughter-in-law, isn't she? Is not Boaz of our kindred with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself therefore, anoint thee, put thy raiment upon thee, get thee down to the floor, and make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie. And thou shalt go in and uncover his feet, lay thee down, he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, you're not my mother, I don't have to listen to you. Is that what she said? No, she said, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. You see, not only a great example of Naomi, but also of Ruth, don't you? Here's a relationship where this was not her biological mother, and this was not her biological daughter. But look at the relationship that they had. We need mothers like Naomi, and we need young people who have the disposition and the attitude of Ruth, don't we? All that thou sayest unto me, I will do. And she went down under the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. Would you have done that? Would that have been said of you? Would you have had that kind of an attitude and that kind of a relationship? In chapter 4, beginning in verse 13, we read where Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. The woman said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. Oh, this woman that may not be your biological mother, but you may be better to her than seven sons. Have you thought about that? We need mothers like Naomi. And it doesn't have to be a child that you have conceived and given birth to. It may be one you've adopted. It may be one that you are a mother to in that sense, in the real sense of the word, of what a mother is. That you're seeking their best interest. And as a young person, I need to realize that my mother, whoever that may be, is seeking my best interest and wants what's best for me. And may I show them the kind of respect and admiration and devotion that Ruth showed to her mother. We also need mothers today from the book of Proverbs chapter 31 who are virtuous women. Take the time to read Proverbs chapter 31 verses 10 through 31 to be impressed with all of the characteristics and qualities of a virtuous woman. The wise man asked, Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Here's a rare woman. Here's a valuable woman or mother. And just notice some things that are said from the standpoint of her being a mother, like in verse 15. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. You know, sometimes mothers have a lot of sleepless nights, don't they? Looking out for the best interest of the family. Have you thought about that? Verse 21 says, She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Verse 27, She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. And you look at the bread of idleness in that context, she doesn't eat of that bread because her hands are busy. Look at all the references to her hands. She worketh willingly with her hands. And then again in verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. We need women, mothers, who are virtuous women. But now from the New Testament, mothers needed today are mothers who are righteous before God. In Luke chapter 1, we read in verse 5, There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, and his wife of the daughters of Aaron, whose name was Elizabeth. Makes a good study just to talk about Zacharias and Elizabeth. What's said about this husband and wife? Verse 6 says, They were both righteous before God. It's not that Zacharias was righteous and his wife was unrighteous, or that she was righteous and he was not righteous. No, the Bible says they're both righteous before God. We need parents like that today, don't we? But as we talk about mothers needed today, we need mothers who are righteous before God. And I learned what that means from this context. He says, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. You see, to be truly righteous before God, we must walk in all His commandments and in His ordinances and in such a way that we're blameless. The book of God puts much emphasis on keeping the commandments of God. Like in Ecclesiastes 12:13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. If I'm not found keeping the commandments of God, then I'm not righteous before God. It's not that she was righteous in her own eyes or she was righteous in the sight of other people. No, the Bible says she was righteous before God. What a great compliment that's paid this mother, this woman who will become a mother. Who'll give birth to John the Baptist, who'll be the forerunner of the Messiah, preparing the way for Jesus. Mothers needed today are mothers who are righteous before God. But also, we need mothers today who keep God's law. I think about Mary, the mother of Jesus. In Luke chapter 2, when in verse 21, the Bible says, When 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Notice verse 22 talks about according to the law of Moses. You see, the law of Moses required that every male that openeth the womb should be called holy to the Lord, in verse 23, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And here they've come in accordance with the teaching of the law to do just that. Verse 27 says, when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. Look at that. And so find in this setting parents who are doing with their child what the law of God said to do with a child. Now, no doubt there would have been some parents that would have brought children into the world and they wouldn't have thought anything about God's law. And that happens today, doesn't it? There are parents that bring children into the world and they don't think anything about where they've come from, that they are inherited to the Lord. They don't think anything about what the Bible, the book of God, says about children and our responsibilities toward them. If you'd been Mary, the mother of Jesus, would it have been said of you, brought in the child to do for him after the custom of the law? And then, as you read down in verse 39, when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord. In order for them to have done all things according to the law of the Lord, first of all, they had to know the law, didn't they? Think about it. Mothers needed today are mothers who know the law of God and are determined to perform all things according to the law of the Lord. Just like Mary. How am I going to know the law of the Lord as a parent? I'm going to have to spend some time reading it, aren't I? Studying it. Paul said, study to show thyself approved unto God. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. I'm going to have to give attendance to reading. You see, it may be that I've been neglecting doing some things according to the law of the Lord because I don't know it. I'm ignorant of it. And whose fault is that? It's not anybody else's fault but mine, really. If I don't know the law of the Lord, because I have been given the responsibility to know it, to find it out. And that involves personal study. And as we come to Bible class, as the Bible talks about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as I'm present for the assembling of the saints, for Bible class and for times when gospel sermons are preached, what am I doing? I'm learning the law of the Lord, aren't I? I'm being reminded of it. Somebody might say, well, I already know the law of the Lord. Did you know that Peter said in 2 Peter as he wrote the book of remembrance that he was writing to those that knew the truth and were established in it? But he said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, as long as I'm in this physical body, I'm going to stir up your minds by way of remembrance. And so those of you who know the truth and you're established in it, you still need to be reminded of it, don't you? That's true of all of us. And so don't think, well, I know so much that I don't have to come so often. We still need to be reminded, don't we? And our salvation depends upon our keeping these things in memory. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 and 2. And so mothers needed today are mothers who are determined to perform all things according to the law of the Lord, just like Mary. And then finally, we need mothers who are faithful. We need faithful mothers. Mothers of faith, like Sarah, who is mentioned as a mother of nations. In Genesis chapter 17, verses 15 and 16. And lots of things could be said about Sarah. But I'm impressed with the fact that she is among those who are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 in the great chapter of faith. Now, she wasn't perfect, was she? But she was faithful. Hebrews chapter 11. And verse 11 says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. And verse 13 says, these all died in faith. Sarah died in faith. You know, there's a lot of different ways that you and I could die. One way we could die is we could die in our sins. Jesus said, if you believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. John 8, 24. And he said in verse 21, if you die in your sins, whither I go, ye cannot come. And so you can't go to heaven if you die that way. You can die in faith. To die in faith is to die as one who is obedient to the Lord. You see, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord, according to Romans 10 and verse 17. And all of these people in Hebrews 11 were said to have faith because of what they did. They did what God said. We need mothers today like that, don't we? And you can thank God when you have a mother who is committed to doing what the Lord says. You can thank God for a mother who has faith, can't you? You can thank God that you've got somebody in your life like Naomi who is seeking your best interest and determined to do all according to the law of the Lord and who has faith, because there are a lot of people in society today who don't have that. And when you think about, we need mothers who are faithful, not just like Sarah who died in faith, but like Eunice who had an unfeigned faith. You remember in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, Paul said, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee." Who's he writing to? Timothy. Where did he get that faith? He said, "Which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. And I am persuaded that in thee also." You know, you think about some things that are handed down or passed down. You might say, "This was my grandmother's." We have some things that we cherish because of the fact that belonged to my grandmother, or that belonged to my mother. How about your faith? You think about things that we may leave our children, or things that you may leave your grandchildren. How about your faith? The word unfeigned means it's a genuine faith. It's not something that's pretentious. It's not something that's hypocritical. It's the real deal. It's a sincere faith. And faith is not inherited. It's not something you're born with. It's not passed down in that sense that you get it in the genes, kind of like you got the color of your eyes or the shape of your nose. No, it don't work that way. You see, it's instilled through example and through teaching. Timothy observed the faith of his mother, and he knew the scriptures from a child because she was living that and she was teaching that. And so it dwelled in her and it dwelled in him. Sometimes you see a gap. You see there are parents who have faith, but their children don't. Perhaps we need to be reminded of the fact that we need mothers today who are faithful. You know, in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 11, when Paul talked about elders and deacons, he talked about their wives. He said, "Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderous, sober, faithful in all things." It may be that there are some men who are not qualified to be elders or deacons because of a lack of faithful mothers. Mothers have great influence upon their children. We saw that in our Bible class this morning. Perhaps you, in your class, saw that statement in the book of Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 44, where the Bible says, "As is the mother, so is her daughter." And so what kind of daughter you have, or what kind of child you have, hinges a lot upon you, doesn't it? Think about that. What kind of mothers do we need? Oh, not in the sense that a lot of people think of, or you look at the word as it's often defined, one who conceives and bears a child. But we need mothers who are mothers in the real sense of the word. You see, being a mother involves much more, doesn't it, than just bringing forth a child. It involves nurture. It involves admonition. It involves training. And thank God for godly mothers. Appreciate your attention to the lesson and hope that it's one that will be helpful to you and that we can make application of in so many different ways. There may be one or more in this audience today who's not yet obeyed the gospel and you desire to become a child of God, a Christian. We're eager to help you with that. Having heard the word of the Lord, would you believe it with all of your heart? And would you be determined to repent of your sins, to confess your faith, to say, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God"? We'll take you to a place of water where you can be immersed, baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and all of your past sins will be forgiven and forgotten. And then to be determined to be faithful unto death, Revelation 2 and verse 10. You see, the Bible talks about our relationship to the Lord as a covenant. It's a covenant of marriage. And you think about the physical relationship, that covenant of marriage, it's a lifelong covenant, isn't it? Leave and cleave. "The woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth." And so I'm bound to the Lord from now on, aren't I? He ever liveth, doesn't he? And so I'm ever bound. And I need to appreciate that. There's some things that I need to leave, to cleave to Him. I need to cleave unto the Lord. Maybe I've not been faithful to Him. Maybe I've left Him. Maybe I've become like Israel of old. I've set up idols in my heart. And I betrayed my loyalty to Him. You know, He still extended invitation. Repent. Turn. Cast away. Make anew. Maybe you need to make a new heart today. Maybe you need to have a spiritual heart transplant. We're here to help you do that. If you'd repent of it, remove those idols from your heart so that when you inquire of the Lord, He'll hear you. You won't be like those who the Lord said, I'll not be inquired of it all by you. We encourage you today. If you need to turn to the Lord, we're here to help you do that. If you'll make your way to the front, let it be known. As together we stand and sing the song.